Hi, you've tuned in to the Lovely Travels podcast, where we talk about all things travel and adventure. My name is Emma Lovell, also known as Lovely, and I have a mission to visit every UN-recognised country in the world while raising awareness for mental health. Join me as we revisit some of my past adventures, speak to fellow travellers and interesting locals, all while following the journey to 195 countries. I'll be joined soon by my co-pilot, Darius, in Germany. And sometimes we're even going to hit the road together. Make sure to join in the adventure by following me on Instagram, Lovely Travels. You can also join our Facebook group, Lovely Travels Community, and learn more about us at the website, lovelytravels.com. But for now, it's listening time. Travel vicariously along with us.
Welcome back again to the Lovely Travels podcast, everyone. Hi, Emma.
Jumbo Darius.
Hey, I know I've put on a little bit of weight, but not that much.
No, I just said hello in Swahili to you.
Oh, and well, hello in... Well, happy Jumbo to you too.
And to our listeners, Karibu, which means welcome.
Isn't that also like moose?
No, I think you're thinking caribou?
Reindeer, caribou.
Potentially, yeah.
We are not talking about reindeers this episode. We're talking about, Emma is talking with Tara and Lottie about Tanzania.
Tanzania in Africa. This is our first visit to Africa, to the continent of Africa. Africa not being a country, which is often what people say. They're like, I love Africa. And you're like, all 50-something countries?
All 50, all of them.
All of them. I loved all of them. No, I've actually spent most of my time in the southern part of Africa and the eastern part of Africa. So Tanzania is technically East Africa. So there's four countries in East Africa. I've been to 3 out of 4, so sort of doing well in that region.
Good.
And, yeah, I first went in 2008. To visit my sponsor child I was just there to visit my sponsor child. And then I went back in 2011 to climb Mount Kilimanjaro, and you can listen to more about that in episode 11. That's a lie. Actually, I lied. We have been to Africa before. We've been to Tanzania and Kenya before on the Mount Kilimanjaro episode with Danielle Colley. So my bad.
You're bad.
Yeah. But more
– that's yes.
But on this episode, which is a bit different to the other one, I was interviewing Tara and Lottie.
How do you know Tara and Lottie?
I know Tara through the wonderful Business Chicks Business Club I'm a member of. So she runs a business on the central coast of Australia and joined the group, as did I, and we connected over that. And, yeah, she happened to have recently married Lottie, but they've been together for a while, and they met originally in Tanzania. And Lottie he's Tanzanian.
This is a bit of a love story, is it?
It is a love story. We share how they met, how Tara was there, and what it's like both ways, you know, what it's like for Lottie now living in Australia and what it's like was like for Tara living in Tanzania, because they are quite vastly different cultures.
I can imagine. So, well, yeah. It sounds, I can hear in your voice, it was a lovely chat, and I'm very much looking forward to listening.
Yeah.
And if you have nothing else to add at this stage, we could get right into it.
No, I like saying all the things.
Okay, we can rabble a bit more before we get into the episode.
No. Let's jump in and listen to these awesome people. It's lovely to meet you, Jumbo.
Jumbo.
Hosanna.
How did you know that?
I was in Tanzania twice, and because I did the Kilimanjaro trek, so every day, I did it with Dismas, Alex.
Which route was?
Which route did you go?
Oh, route. I did the Marengu up. No, that's the wrong guy up and the Marengu down. So 5 days up.
You went the wrong guy, then Marengo.
Yeah.
Ah, okay, that's good.
So it was Marawi, nice to see.
Marawi is easy words. Marawi, we just call it Coca-Cola route.
Ah, yes, yeah. I'm glad we didn't do Marengu up down. I think it would have been like kind of not boring, but also like seeing the same thing again. You kind of go, oh no, here with the same spot.
Yeah.
Whereas Ronga was just, it was beautiful every day, so different, and you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the problem of Marangu world, when you're using Marangu route, you're using the same route to go up, the same route to come down. So, and it's a long distance. It's easy, but long distance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed it, 7 days. And because, like, we spend, you know, you're there all day, every day. Yeah. I was talking with my guides and I'd ask them to teach me some words and... Yes. They were so sweet. So they were singing Malaika to me, the angel song. And I love the Kilimanjaro song. Whenever I hear that, I just start to cry.
Jambu,
Wema. Yeah.
That. Oh, it's okay. It's a Kilimanjaro.
That's always common in
Akari Bisha. Mzuri Sana. Kilimanjaro.
Hakuna matata.
Hakuna matata, yeah. I put the aircon.
Yeah, really, I think even me, I really miss the moment. You know, sometimes you climb on Kilimanjaro, at the portal, and you feel it's hard work, but still you enjoy the nature, you enjoy the crew, you enjoy a lot of stuff there, but... Sometimes I miss a lot. I'm feel like, yeah, I need to go back to do it, but I'm.
Could you do it now?
But for now, I feel like.
Could you even climb it now?
If I was climbing as a, not a porter.
Yeah, not a porter.
My backpack, my luggage. Yeah. I'm happy
if
to do
it. If you did it as a Mzungu.
Yeah, we do have the Mzungu.
Because the porters, they go so fast, you know, like we leave the camp. An hour later, they come past us.
Yeah, I'm used to do that because I used to be a Kembu crew. So I have to wake up early, leave early, and make sure everything is fine. But I think for now,
Yeah, that's how everyone starts, though, isn't it? I think they start off as, like, the basic porter. Like, it doesn't matter who you are, what you've done. Everyone comes in kind of as a porter. Mm. And then once you've been doing it for a bit, then you start to be sort of, promoted, I guess, upgraded to chef and assistant guide.
Yeah, but it depends which crew you're working with them, which the guide and because if you are close friend with the guide, you get more promotion.
Yeah,
to another state. So,
because the guys, they like, you know, they want to work with the guys that they would like working. You know,
yeah.
You rely on each other a lot. So, you know, if you don't like someone or there's a bad vibe in the group, it's not very good to have them on your team. So, they work really hard. They're very impressive and so sweet. Everybody, I feel like they really care about you. And, you know, I still talk to my guides. They call me Chewy. My name is Chewy.
Why they call you Chewy?
Because I called myself Chewy.
You know what's Chewy?
Leopard.
Yeah.
I had a book and it had all animal names, and so there were only 8 of us, and so I went through and I gave everyone a name.
Yeah.
I called the team Tembo, so we were the elephant team because we were there for Alzheimer's, so it's like the memory. Yeah. So they called one girl Twiga, one girl is Swala. You know, I was Chewy, and the guys, they still now, this was 9 years ago, they still always, they say, Jumbo Chewy, how are you?
So are you still communicating and contact with him?
Yeah, I've got Dismar.
Okay. Have you go with a private company or like a normal company?
So I went with a company. So in Australia, they're a charity challenge company. So we raise money for charity.
Yeah.
And then they partner with the company there. So I don't even know the name of the company.
Ah, okay. Which part in Tanzania? Is Arusha or Moshi?
Yeah, Arusha. So they were in Arusha. I think so. I can ask Dismas. I'll tell you who it was.
What's the name of the guide?
The guide? Dismas.
Dismas, do you know Alex. The last name?
It's his last. On Facebook, he's Dismas Alex, but I call him Mufasa. And one other one, I call him Simba, but his name was actually God's love.
Hakim?
No,
that's someone. Yeah, she's the one who knows Hakim.
Yeah.
Okay. Hakim is he's my best friend. He's my best friend.
That's crazy.
He's
his best friend.
No, the thing is, we used to live in the same street.
Wow.
And I think we used to help each other because Arusha is like a little small town. So we know each other.
Yes.
So sometimes don't surprise, like, you know, someone know me, and because someone know me means she know that as well. That she's not like they know that much, but they know that through me. So
Yeah. So I met Hakim when my first trip was 2008, December. Yeah. And I went to visit my sponsor child through World Vision in Tanzania. Yeah. And so this was arranged all through World Vision, but I wanted to stay and see some things. So I got the bus from Nairobi to Arusha. Mm-hmm. And my guide from there, his name was Chris, the company I booked through, I can't remember, but I have to look it up. So Chris organized for me to get to Tanzania, and then his partner there was Hakim. So then Hakim met and I learned when I got there.
And now I know how you just met Hakim, because Hakim was working in the Riverside shuttle.
Riverside. That's the shuttle.
Yeah.
He was working there.
That fucking bus trip.
And he was so nice, you know, because he took personal care. You know, obviously he could take me to the hotel and just say, there you go. And he took me out. He said, you want to go see something, or so we'll go for dinner. And then when I came back for Kilimanjaro 2011, he came to the hotel on the last night to meet with me and my friends. And so, I'm in Arusha going, oh, my friend, he's going to come meet us. The other people are like, what? What was that? They're like, who's this guy? I'm like, this is Hakim. Like, duh.
We're just friends now. That's how it works. I would say it's pretty easy to make friends over there, because everyone is so lovely, but also willing and like really willing and keen to show you around, show you their culture. You know, there's pride in that as well. I think that's why tourism does well over there. I mean, like it's a big part of their economics, but they're really actually proud of, here's our country and we want you to see all of it. You know, I don't think either they shy away from like, here are some tough things, but here's some beautiful things as well. So I think it's quite nice, you know, if you're willing and able to, then it's quite easy to see, you know, the real part of it, not always the glorified tourism part.
But I went to the market, you know, and they told me that was fine. And I went to the market down in Arusha by myself. And
the Maasai markets?
Yeah, I felt fine and safe. And, you know, they told me don't go out at night by yourself.
Anywhere in the world, right? Anywhere in the world, it's like you're a single white female. So just don't go out at night. I hate that, but it's, you know, it's like, let's use some concepts.
Not a single white female. Even
the guys as well.
No. Even women in Africa. So sometimes they're not going out in the nighttime, because if you just get in trouble in the nighttime, how are you going to help yourself?
Yeah.
I mean, you need someone to guide you, like someone who...
Do you remember when we lived in Ingalelo and we came home from Set Gardens? I don't know. Do you remember Set Gardens? Did you ever go there?
I don't think so.
We lived opposite this place, Set Gardens, the first house that we lived in, and it was literally just across the road from where our house was, but our house was like back off the main road. So you go down these paths, tracks, like I use all these terms very loosely. It was just like mud shit everywhere. And it was like 7 o'clock, right? 7 o'clock, it gets dark. There's no such thing as streetlights. Well, there wasn't. There is now, but there wasn't then. And I could not see anything. And I'm walking like a blind person, clutching to Lottie, going, I can't see. And he's like, oh, careful, there's a person right in front of you. And I was like, where? I can't see anything. But I honestly, it was like, it didn't even matter if I wanted to go out at night. I couldn't go out by myself because there's no street lights. I literally could not see where I was going.
No.
I didn't even know that. It was only because I was touching him that I knew he was next to me. I was like, I can't even see you.
Right, like, Lottie, you probably got like the, like, cat eyes, like you've got the
that's it, that night vision. And I was like, I can't see anything. So I couldn't, you know, if I needed to get something from the shops or do something or whatever, I'd have to be sort of prepared or organized to get it before night fell. Yeah. Otherwise, you go, well, it's dark now. I can't, unless I had a car. And even then, I probably wouldn't drive by myself. So unless like Lottie was there to grab something or go with me or pick me up, then it's like wherever you are, night's full.
Yeah, that's what you say, or you get driven. And you know, I was just in Papua New Guinea, and there's a similar thing. They're just saying, you know, it's like, yeah, you at night you need to be driven. You should need to be with someone. And the women have said the same, you know. So it's like it's a community vibe anyway. And I just unfortunately, there are some. You know, it's just not safe sometimes to go out. But that's okay. If that's not a Tanzania thing.
No. That's like...
It's not an Africa thing. That's a, you know, that's a everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, even here in Australia, you know, you wouldn't go out. There's definitely places, like you wouldn't go out to, I mean, I wouldn't anymore, go wandering around like King's Cross or Redfern at night by myself.
But I honestly feel I felt more safe in some places, like being in Tanzania or something, than I do in Melbourne at the moment, because there has been a number of attacks. And, you know, I had a time recently where I thought, do I get the tram? And there were other people there and that was fine. It was well lit. But I said, I just called, you know, my husband. I said, I don't know. I just feel, he said, I don't feel comfortable. Just get an Uber, you know? And I okay. It's funny like that, but that's just common sense. And I don't think people should ever be afraid to go to, and I say Africa, I'm very well aware Africa is not a country. I'm talking about the continent, but this fear of going to Africa and thinking maybe it's unsafe or whatever, I do recommend going, either you connect with somebody before, or like going with a tour company initially. I felt so comfortable. Yeah. They were so lovely. They called my mum. When I got to Nairobi, Chris was like, your mum called. She has to know that you've arrived. And the same when we got to Tanzania, you know, like called my mum. Yeah. I'm with Hakim. Like, don't worry, they're taking care of me.
Yeah.
I mean, I was quite young. I was, I guess, 20 or something. So yeah.
But my mum shat herself. How much, right? Shat herself. And even when I called, I probably spoke to her every day or every other day while I was there, even if it was just a short, like, hey, check-in kind of thing. But, yeah, still, it was like I really had to filter what I told her, because everything was through the lens of you're about to die any minute now.
Yeah. And for you, Lottie, like now being here, you must be like, ah, it's not a problem. Like, don't worry about that, you know. Hakuna Matata.
No, I think even now, if you're just talking to your mom about traveling to Africa, she still say,
No. That's it.
Well, I'm going to backtrack a little because we've just dove straight in, but I want to kind of, I will do an introduction, you know, we'll have done that, but tell me a little bit about you, you know, so you are, well, I'll say, where are you living now? Where are you living now?
Just on the Central Coast, north of Sydney. Yeah, in Australia. Yeah.
And so, Tara, where are you originally from?
From Sydney.
From Sydney. Okay, so not far from home, so from Australia. But Lottie, you're from Tanzania.
Yeah, from Arusha, Tanzania, which is Arusha is north Tanzania.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Well, where were you born?
Yeah, not still in Arusha. It's still in Arusha because
born in
it's
a hospital?
That's another question.
Okay.
Yeah, but I hope. I don't remember if I was born in the hospital, but I'm still alive.
I don't know if we need to go into that much detail.
The good thing is I'm still alive.
You're thriving. It's brilliant. Very general. There are hospitals, guys. Like, you know, there's quite good things. But how did you guys come to meet, and where, like, how did you get to be together, Tanzania and in Australia?
That's
your question. Would you like? Oh, that's mine.
Yeah.
I went over to Tanzania through a volunteerism company called Cats Volunteer, or Cats Volunteer Adventure, something like that. I don't think it exists anymore, but that's who went through. And Lottie was working for that company. So I went over there initially with the thought of I just booked 6 weeks. And then I was going to continue on actually down to South Africa. So this is the end of 2013. And then for Christmas 2013, I was going to be in South Africa with some other friends. But actually, the moment I arrived, I fell in love with the place. I absolutely loved it. Even the drive from Kilimanjaro Airport into town, which is about an hour, it was like I just loved it. I absolutely loved it. And then being in town and just, again, the people and how friendly they were. And there was just such a beautiful vibe and atmosphere that pretty much from when I got there, I was like, right, I'm doing my volunteer stuff, but I want to stay and I want to find a place to stay. And the lady that ran this company, she was Australian as well. And I actually knew her sister, blah, 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 random connections. And she was really helpful. She was like, cool, you want to stay? Let's find a way to make that happen. And so I was able to do that. I was able to work there, do some work for them and get my accommodation for free. So I became like the volunteer coordinator. And then I also worked part-time in a bar. So,
cool.
Yeah, we worked quite closely together for the 6 weeks that I was there. And then I ended up staying.
Ooh. Kind of, it's a bit of a dream. I think some people that go, I'm going over and I might fall in love with someone while I'm there, and you did it.
Well, I was the complete opposite. I had just come out of a long-term relationship and just, yeah, and I was like, not interested. Like, this is my time to work on me. You know, I had sold my business. Emmy and I have talked about this. I completely burnt out, and I was like, I need to find more meaning in my life. I need to find my purpose. I need to find who I am. You know, that whole question of there's got to be more to life than this, than what I was doing. And I guess, you know, you just go to sell everything and go to Africa. So I was kind of in that mindset. I really was like almost quite selfishly just focused on me and being present and being around Tanzanians who are the epitome of presence. You know, like in Western culture here, we work so hard to meditate and our mindfulness practice and, you know, Eckhart Tolle and all his sort of stuff, being present in the present moment. You are not going to find a more present moment peoples, you know, than those in Tanzania. And I always look at Lottie, with his like limited education and all that he's gone through, he's like a Zen Buddha, but just naturally. Like, he hasn't done all the self-help books that I've done.
Teach us your ways, Lottie. Teach us.
Yeah, don't
listen to her. It's like Hakuna Matata, isn't it?
It's Hakuna Matata. I'm the Shida.
No, you don't listen to her, because even the second day after she arrived. In the morning. So we went there. I took her passport, $200 US, and then I disappeared.
And I just,
So then from there she was, and someone took her phone.
Yeah, I had to get my phone reprogrammed.
Yeah, someone took the phone and disappeared. Then she was, ooh, how am I going to get my stuff back?
Yeah, it's just like these two random Africans like, yeah, trust me, give me your phone and I'll take it back and I'll meet you back. You're like, oh, okay.
Yes.
And then Lottie, who didn't speak any English.
Wow.
And I gave him my passport and $200 because he had to get me the proper, like, volunteer visa. We had to process that. And I kind of half joking, half serious and shitting myself going, please don't sell my passport and steal my identity. And he just smiled and nodded like, you know, that, oh, I don't know what to say. Yeah. And then walked off. Here you go. Shit, here I am.
There's a lot of trust in travel, isn't there? There's a lot of, like, you're going to this place and you're like, I hope you're a good person and you're in the right place. But But then, you know, but it works out, you know.
It did. And I think a lot of stuff, I think it, honestly, if I had really thought through anything that I did or majority of the stuff that I did or tried to do over there, it wouldn't have happened and I wouldn't have been in such a good mood. Like, you know, there is, it's a lot of that trust. But also trusting yourself, you know, like we were saying, trust your gut. If it doesn't feel right, then just don't do it. It's that's okay too. But there, yeah, so there is a lot of trust, but there was a lot of trust. And you can't always explain it, but, you know, you get a sense from people.
Mm-hmm.
You get a sense from people, and that's something, and I think everyone gets that from Lottie, but, yeah, I very much got the sense of, like, okay, like, this is okay.
Yeah, I'm going to be okay.
Yeah, and this is okay. So, yeah, that was second day, and then, like I said, we started working together. I don't know, what about the trip to Majimoto? Did you go to Majimoto?
Hot springs.
I'll come back with you guys sometime. So next time.
But we're gonna have our wedding, our second wedding over there anyway. So don't worry. Yeah, we'll do that.
Just invited myself. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry.
I'm now a flower girl. It's fine.
That's it. It's open to everyone.
I think the hot springs are amazing. Yeah, I think there are so many things, which is the little things. Just make people stay there. Not like Mount Kilimanjaro, not like national parks like Ngorongoro, Serengeti, and stuff like that. But there are some little things like Majimoto is like it's a little tiny. But it's when you're going there, you feel like where I'm going.
You're like.
Yeah, where I'm
even
going.
If you got
even
lost,
me, like the first time I went there, like, I told Kelvin, like. Yeah, you're telling me, like, where are we going? You just told me, no, chill down, bro. You will see when we get there.
Yeah.
At the time I got there, I was like, wow. There are things like this.
There's nothing around. It is that thing of here's an oasis in the middle of a desert, right? Because you go off-road. You go along the main road. You just randomly turn off it.
Yeah.
Because you've got a sense with your spidey senses when you turn off it is what it looks like to me. There's no signs. And then you drive for another hour and a half along just dirt. And we went through like around people's houses and you're like, who lives out here? What is this? But it's these beautiful, natural, hot springs. The water is fresh and clear. And so they've set up camp. It's really popular for tourists. So you've got some of the locals there. Like, tourists have to pay, you know, whatever. Like, what was it, 500 shillings or something? I don't know, like a dollar. You pay like a dollar entry fee, right? But whatever, it supports the locals. And someone set up, like, the whole, they've got their sodas and their local beers, and they cook chips my eye, and, you know, they've got all that set up, so then they make some more money from that. And then they've got, like, a swing rope, so you swing out and just dive into the water. It is stunning. Anyway, so I went there, and, like, within the first couple of weeks, Lottie came, and with our sort of guide or the other guy that ran the company, Kelvin.
Well, that's starting our relationship.
And Lottie had a couple of beers. I probably should have done these interviews separately. I would have got completely different stories.
It was this beautiful. So if anyone goes, I mean, eventually when you go, Majimoto, I highly recommend. It is.
Well, I'll get you to send, like for the show notes or the links. Yeah. So after you initially met and you were doing the volunteer program, so how long did you stay in Tanzania that time?
In total, I stayed for a year, just over a year. Now, it would have been longer. My plan was to stay there. I mean, I never had any intention to come back to Australia, like ever, really. I was just going to keep country hopping and finding work and whatever. And, I mean, I'd spoken to Lottie heaps about Vietnam. I love Vietnam, and I was like, we've got to go there. Still on our list of things to do.
Wanted to take him around
and all of that, but plans sort of changed rather quickly,
everything just changed after someone just started getting sick, and I don't know what happened.
So we've been together for 8 months. I'd been in the country for 10 months when I fell pregnant. So I'd gone back to Australia just for a short little visit. You know, I'd been in the country, I'd been in Tanzania for 10 months, went back home for like 2 weeks or something.
Yeah.
And then came back and then found out I was pregnant. So that sort of changed things really quickly, didn't it?
I think the reason why we are here, we're living here now, is I think that the reason, because because of the baby, because we went to this hospital and we just find out that, okay, there are something, but we don't know if these things still existing. So what we're going to do, we have to do this and this. And Tara's mom say, oh, no. And even Tara just thought, like, to do here, not a good
thing. I was going to have an operation, because they actually said that the pregnancy had terminated itself. Yeah. And this, I was like 10 weeks pregnant, and they said, oh, no, the fetus isn't alive anymore. Yeah. So we have to do an operation, a DNC, so I come back and book that in. And we're devastated. But it also kind of shows, so, you know, I want to pump out Tanzania. It is a beautiful place, but they still need so much help in terms of medical education and advancements and access to better equipment and all this sort of stuff. Like, this was a good hospital, but they just, you know.
So the pregnancy was still happening, but they thought it wasn't, or
it happened? That's it. They thought that, I forget what it's called. It's a thing, but your body still thinks that you're pregnant, except the fetus has actually terminated itself. But your body, like the hormones, are still producing. I mean, it's called a something, but I forget. Anyway, and then so they said they'd have to do a DNC, and you know, it's all done and dusted. And I thought, well, honestly, if I need to have an operation, I may as well go back to Australia. And I went back to Australia. They said, fine, well, you know, we have to do an ultrasound just to confirm. And she said to me, you have a perfectly healthy 12-week-old fetus.
Wow.
You're not, let's cancel all of this. And I just went, ooh.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
But then honestly, I mean, I was never actually going to give birth in Tanzania. I was going to go, there's an international hospital in Nairobi, Kenya.
The plan was
Or South Africa.
Yeah, the plan was South Africa.
Yeah, that was kind of our plan. But I was so sick. I was so sick. And they just didn't understand. They were like, well, you're past the 12 weeks. It can't still be morning sickness. So it's got to be something else. So we're going to run all these tests and do all this stuff. And I was just like, no.
The morning sickness goes longer. And some people,
some people it's short. Some people it goes longer. It's just, and mine lasted pretty much the whole bloody pregnancy. So yeah, that was a struggle. That was a struggle. And as much as, and this is what we still have a debate over, you know, you can't say, it's too easy to weigh up pros and cons and go one country is better than the other.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, what are you actually looking for? Because I have to say, the community and the family support and family help that we would have over there, and that does exist over there, far outweighs any of the junk that we have here in Australia.
Oh, yeah.
It's piss poor, the family and parent and mother support that we have here.
Yeah, because there that you know, takes a village to raise a child is like a real thing.
Yes,
the village really does raise the child, and
it's huge.
Everybody,
Lottie's mum would be in there whether we liked it or not. She'd be in there, and I mean, most of the kids from Lottie's brothers and sisters, all their kids live with his mum.
Yeah,
and then the parents live in their own houses, you know, like around, like close by, but their children don't actually live with them. And in fact, our good friend Benson, how long has it been since he's seen his son?
Oh, a long time.
Like 4 or 5 months, because he's living with the grandparents.
Yeah.
That the grandparents actually raise the kids and the parents go off to work and, you know. Yeah.
And so, Lottie, can I ask you, like, in terms of culturally, how do they feel in Tanzania about, like, you know, children before marriage and things like that? Was that ever an issue, or it's not really a problem there?
I think it's not when we're talking about that, there are two sides. In the religions side is an issue.
Yes.
But in the other side is a lot of people just getting kids without marriage.
Yeah. So your family was not upset that you weren't married first, and
No. Because always, you know, when you get married and get kids, there is no difference between someone who have kids without married and someone who have kids with married. There is no, but what they, my dad, my parents, they are really religion, and they was forcing me all the time to get married. But married is a discussion between two people who love each other, who to live together.
Yes.
So no anyone will come in front of me and force me to do something which is, it's not the right time for me.
Yeah. And you're married now, though. Congratulations. That happened very recently.
Yeah.
Well, the right time is come for you. You don't have anyone to force you to do something.
Yeah. That's nice. That's really good. And so did you end up going back to Tanzania in that time to live again, or have you been in Australia since you came back for the first baby?
I think that's my
question. So Lottie, so the, we had all the visa fun. So the first time he came out for just in time for our son Rocky to be born, he was only on a tourist visa. His actual, residency visa had not gone through yet or been processed and wouldn't be for a whole nother year, right? So he was just on a travel visa, and he came back, stayed for a couple of months around the time Rocky was born, and then when Rocky was almost 3 months, he had to go back. Mm. Then he went back. He was away for about 5 or 6 months.
No, Rocky just born in...
I think Rocky was 9 months.
Rocky was born on May.
Yeah.
Then I went back to Africa on August.
Yeah.
And then I came back at the new year.
On the 1st of January 2016. I remember that. Yeah, yeah. So he arrived. So everyone said to me, so you booked him a flight, so he'll be in the air over New Year. And I was like, yes, I don't care. He's getting back here. Whatever time I say, he's coming back. So he came back for another just a couple of months. It was just a couple of months.
3 months. And then I went back before Easter, which is 2017.
Yeah. This is us working out. No one cares about the dates. Anyway, so
did you get to enjoy Australia at all, or was it kind of just like just baby time?
For me, the first time I came, the second time I came was really boring. Yeah, the first time I came was really boring.
The first time or the second time?
The first time.
Oh, the first time?
No, first time and second time, because I was in the holiday visa.
You couldn't work.
Yeah, I can't work. I have nothing to do, just sitting
around.
And
it was like a month before our son was born. I was so fat. I was so fat. And so I was trying to take him around to touristy things, but then my feet hurt. I was tired. I couldn't, like, yeah, I wasn't really a barrel of laughs. And then we had a
the language hard for Lottie as well that time. It must have been a lot. You always heard English maybe slower, and then to come here and we speak very fast. Like, was that difficult?
Yeah, that way I say, like, the first time and the second time for me was really, really boring for me. Then I went back home, I think it was March 2017. Then I came back for 2016. Then I came back, I went back for two or three months.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then I came back.
Yeah, he's done a couple of back and forths, just as visas and as babies and as... whatever.
It must have been a big trip for you too, like, because you've maybe not been, like, that's a big flight for anyone.
Never flown before.
And you would have gone to Nairobi and then somewhere.
The first time I came bus shuttle from Arusha to Nairobi, and then flew from Nairobi, I think, to Dubai.
Yeah, that's normal.
Then Dubai to Sydney.
Yeah. It's a big flight.
That was first one. And it was long.
Yeah.
Because from Dubai to here is 14 hours.
Yeah, that must be a shock. Like, I think it's a shock, maybe. Like, had you been on many planes from Tanzania or anything?
No, I think one from Arusha to Dar es Salaam, which is before. From Arusha to Dar es Salaam, which is 45.
Yeah, it's like an minutes. Up and down trip.
Yeah.
So this was like basically his first big flying, and it couldn't be a bigger, more convoluted trip. I was even getting nervous for the transfer. You know how how hectic airports are, and then suddenly he's got to read and then find out who do I ask and where do I go, and I was like,
oh my God.
I was talking around with my gate pass all the time.
Where is someone tell me?
Yeah, this way.
Oh man, oh that's awesome. I mean, look, Leah, I guess you had a really good motivation. I need to see my baby. Got to get there.
Yeah, I was like,
yeah, points.
Yeah, lucky I just make it on time and I didn't get lost.
I was so nervous.
And so how did you, like, so, because when you guys met, you said you didn't really speak English. So when did you start to learn English? Was it you, Tara, helping him, or did you go to school? Or
I don't know if she helped me. I have no idea if she did, but I think I just helped myself.
Well, that's true. Yeah. That's true. There was no official language lessons, and I didn't. So this is the other thing. I talk fairly sort of fast. And I don't slow down either. Yeah. I really...
I know that, Tara.
Yeah. And I didn't slow down for a while and I didn't stop. But there was a couple of hiccups, like in... do you remember the difference? I remember a big one, the difference between ask and tell. And so there was always little things like that. And I was like, hey, did you ask someone or did you tell someone? Because it, you know, subtly it makes a difference. And so there was confusion with that. Mm. And then sometimes... I mean, I don't know if you know this, but the Swahili language doesn't differentiate between male or male. So he said blah, blah, or she said blah, blah. It's the same thing. They use the same word. So a lot of time Tanzanians will interchange he, she. So it was like during stories, he's telling me he said this and the he suddenly turns to a she. And I'm like, oh my God, mate, there's like 50 people in this story and I don't know. And are you asking someone or are you telling someone? I don't know.
And I think English as well, I don't know a lot of you like, but the cool thing about Swahili is it's phonetic. And so, like, I got someone to write a speech for me. And if you write it down, I could read the Swahili because it's all like sounds, you know. So, nawapenda wote. Like, you know, I could read that because nawapenda wote.
You can read the way someone just writes. But English,
no, it's a lot more challenging in that.
To learn English in Australia, that's a big challenge.
Sorry, yes.
He's working with a bunch of tradies as well.
Oh, no.
Like, just speaking like a bogan English.
I taught him that word.
Yeah, and then you feel like, what do you say? Someone just say, oh, like, smoke or die. I'm not smoking.
He thought smoko was like, oh, it's a, you know, like morning tea break, or it's like, it's a little break. He didn't realize smoko was the Sean thing of a smoke break, a cigarette break.
Yeah, but even my husband still calls it smoko. Nobody smokes.
They all smoke.
Yeah, he calls it morning tea.
That's it. It's morning tea time. That's what it was like. I kept saying, so I went for a smoko and then we had another smoko and I was like, what the hell?
Why are you smoking?
Like, why are you going for cigarette breaks?
I'm not
like,
smoking.
You're not. And he's like, I don't smoke. And I was like, I know. So why are you going for a smoko? Like, I don't understand. And he was like,
sorry, Lottie.
So we had a couple of hiccups. But then even vice versa, I was, you know, pathetically learning Swahili, doing my best attempt, but I tried.
You tried.
But Lottie was actually more interested in, so even in our house, he wouldn't speak Swahili to me. He was probably more interested in improving his English.
The thing is, that's 50-50.
Yeah.
It is 50-50. I need to get maybe 51. She needs to get 51. Mm-hmm. She learning Swahili. I'm learning English.
Yeah.
So how are we going to speak? How I'm going to speak Swahili if I want to learn more English?
Yes.
How she's going to speak English if she wants to learn?
Yeah, yeah.
For example, one day I was home. I got home really late, early before her. And I say, hey, because we're chatting in Swahili. Yeah, I'm home.
Yeah, we would text.
Yeah, we just texted. I'm home, but when you come home, can you bring dinner for me because I'm home and I don't want to get out of the house anymore? And she asked me in Swahili, what did you want? And I just say, chochote. Chochote means anything, any kind of food, just bring for me. And then she picked that word as chocolate.
I didn't look at it properly. I was working in a bar. There was a lot of noise. There's lots of stuff going on. And I just quickly looked at it and put it down and was like, what the hell? He doesn't eat chocolate. Why does he want chocolate?
Then she came back home with Kit Kat, two finger. and I asked her, where's my dinner? And she, no, you told me chocolate. And you're like, no, I didn't say chocolate. I said chocolate. Chocolate means anything.
Oh, that's
I did it.
So I have to get back to the kitchen and make the dinner for myself.
Because
yeah,
so. That was a pathetic attempt.
Well, speaking of food, I'm going to do a quick fire round of some questions. So tell me, like, for both of you, like, what would be your favorite food? Like, what do you miss from Tanzania?
For me, I think it's fish.
Fish? Okay. Mm. Is it like cooked a special way or something? Or
they are yummy. Tanzania fish.
He's obsessed. He doesn't like it here. Doesn't like it here, but obsessed with. And Arusha, you know, there's no, you know, big bodies of water surrounding it. Yeah, so they bring it in from the coast, so it's been traveling. I mean, whatever. I wasn't brave enough to try it, but anytime we go out, he'd have fish. Fish, and what else? It wasn't necessarily with rice.
It depends if it's rice, if it's ugali. Yeah, but ugali. I have I can make ugali here, but the only thing I just miss is fish.
Mm.
Because I can make any kind of foods. And the other thing is banana stew, because it's hard to get the green banana here.
Well, it's that very thick banana, isn't it? It's like
it's hard to get like a green banana here.
It's more like almost like plantain, more so like that really thick, and it's very good like nutrition, because I noticed when I was in Tanzania, like there's a lot of carb things, so you're eating a lot of potato, a lot of the banana.
Mm-hmm.
Rice, beans.
Stuff that'll just fill you up. Yeah.
Things so that may be cheap and it makes you give you energy.
Yeah.
So the rest of the food we're making here, we're making chapati, we're making rice, we make all of that.
Beans
so
and lentils.
Beans, lentils, all of that we're making here. So we have those ones. So, and they love chapati.
Yeah, kids love chapati.
But she don't want to learn how to cook them.
That.
No, I need to.
Okay. What did I like? Oh, I liked the thing in Tanzania. We had a lot of, not a food, but we had konyagi. I don't know if I like it, but I will always remember it. We had
how we got together.
But how do we get together?
That's how we got together. New Year's Eve.
And
konyagi.
On my wedding, we have one of our friends just bring that, that little pack.
In the little sachets?
Yes.
Like
yes.
Someone just bring to me.
For our wedding.
Oh my God. So konyagi is like, it's like a gin.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
That's the best way to explain it. Yeah.
It's very cheap. And
very cheap.
It's very effective.
Yeah. And you mix it with stuff. It's not, I'd like it, it's definitely not a fine wine, but it was fun.
Yeah.
On a cheap traveler budget, it'll do.
Interesting memories. And yes, my friend, I remember you get like a box of sachets of alcohol. So like little like you would get a Zupa Dupa ice cream. Unfrozen.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. It's very Africa. I remember that from Tanzania. So now if someone was going for the first time and they had a little bit of time, like what would you recommend to go and see while they're in Tanzania?
There are so many things to see. It depends Well, because I know what, if someone wants to travel from here to go there, it's me, he have his target. I want to go there to see this and this and this and this. So it depends. So the first thing I will do, I will ask that person, like, okay, what did you specifically want to see? Then when he say, I want to see maybe leopard, I will tell, okay, you will see them, but the other side, there are this and this and this and this. You want to do this and this, then from there, I will take her or his opinion, like, yeah. But the first thing I need to ask him, the reason why you went there.
Yeah.
Most people go to the safari parks and like you said, Kili. Those are the standout stuff. And while that's great, that's great to go there and do those things. Yeah. But then people forget, like, you do have downtime in between. And you probably need to give yourself some downtime. So there's so many little, like, day trips that you can do, again, to different national parks, to things like Majimoto. You can go to Zanzibar. I highly recommend putting a couple of days out to go to Zanzibar.
Dying. I've been twice and I didn't go. I'm just dying to get to Zanzibar.
It is beautiful because you go into Stone Town and they've got these gorgeous night markets. That is some divine fresh seafood.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure about the Arusha seafood, but that's fine. What, each their own. But that, yeah, so that's definitely a recommendation. But little things like they've got some really beautiful museums as well. Even just to walk the streets. To be honest, we walked a lot. Like I ended up buying a car in Japan, importing it over because it was a lot cheaper, blah, blah, blah. So we didn't have a car for ages. So we'd either borrow friends or, you know, get the Dulla Dulla. I don't recommend that. But
is that like a shared van thing?
It's a van, but it's like, consider like public transport, like your local bus. I definitely don't recommend that. That's probably an experience you can have once and then leave it. Find a reliable picky driver, so a motorbike driver or like a taxi driver, you know. And you can do that fairly cheaply, fairly easily. Find like just your one person that you call that really picks you up from wherever. You can even pay them a flat rate for the day and they just drive you around. So there's that. But I do recommend walking, just going, like walking in town. It's just so fascinating, is it? Some of the things that you see.
And the other thing is going village in the village. There are so many tribes. Oh, there are so many cultures. There are so many things you can go. And
even just see. 45 minutes out of Arusha.
Because I realize here, people don't know. People talking about community.
Yes.
So they don't know the meaning of community.
No.
So stuff like that. If someone going there, maybe even if you get like half an hour. Okay, can we drive outside of the town a little bit and see what happened over there? So stuff like that.
Oh, it's very special, very different if you've never seen it, experienced it. I was very fortunate to, my sponsor child was in a Maasai tribe, so in Maasai village. So to see that way of life, and it was just so welcoming, so hospitable. They gave me the beautiful beads. The beads are very typical of Tanzania, the you know, making necklace or a bracelet. So they gifted that to me, which I just thought was so lovely. They made me goat, which for their family would have been something very special and cost a lot. And just to see that, I was very fortunate because obviously I was going with a sponsor child, but there are companies who arrange that you can have a community visit or a village visit and see this type of life. Different type of life because, you didn't grow up in a village like that, did you, Lot? You grew up in the city, in the town, so even it's different to your life, you know?
It's not like, because I just born in the village, but grew up in the town.
And so in the village, are they having like, is it the mud houses or are they having like more like the sort of shanty, like made of iron and things, or are they houses?
And that's the muddy house with a
thatch roof. That's what his parents have. Yeah, and maybe there was one house there that was like brick.
Yeah, somewhere. Yeah, it's one of my young brothers. No, that's not like, it's not like a brick. It's mud brick.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That's mud brick. Yeah, okay. And someone just make a plastering, rendering outside and you feel like, this is...
It's quite cool now, in the mud.
But now those things just keep changing because our generation starting working hard, they just start making big houses, brick houses. So we're going to lose the culture of the mud houses and grass on top. So I think maybe the next generation is mean where we born and we were thinking this is a village, is going to be not the village anymore.
So, oh, yeah.
So it's mean we have to go back. If you have to think like now, I need to go in the village, you have to go.
Yeah.
Move.
It's kind of sad. I mean, already the Maasai tribes were nomadic.
Yes.
Already that's changed. They're no longer nomadic, not really anyway. And then, it was always the man of the village had multiple wives. Like, that was the thing. So Lottie's dad has two wives. Nat has two wives. And then they had their kids. I mean, how many wives are you planning on having?
I would think then I would get back to you.
All right, let me know. So even in one generation, that's changed. So yeah. Suddenly, I mean, now, so even just the fact of having one wife, they still, some still have like a lot of kids. It's not very, common, but it's still going to be significantly less because you've just got one wife. So Lottie's one of 14, 15 kids spread across these two women, so in one generation, a lot has changed about what the Maasai culture is or was. Yeah. Plus, Maasai is just one of the tribes. How many tribes do it? There's like 120 different tribes native to Tanzania.
Yeah.
120.
Yeah, and I only talk about Maasai because I've seen it, but also I think that's the one that most people... because of the jumping, but the jumping is also
a strong tribe.
And the white Maasai,
which I was gonna reference, but I was like, I don't know if you like that, Tara.
I didn't rough it quite as much as her. Mm-hmm. I don't think I was a little.
Yeah, this woman. I'll put a link in the show notes. It's quite good. There's a book and a movie, real story. Yeah. A woman went, saw a man. Fell in love, went back and found him somehow, and then lived.
He was village. They were sort of mud huts and all of that.
Oh, that was so proper. Yeah, that was proper.
Yeah, we weren't.
And tradition, very traditional as well.
Yeah, you weren't that tribal.
No, I think if you remember, you weren't that raw. If you remember, we went to watch the movie.
Here, when I was pregnant with Amaya?
Yeah, I think me. And then we get there, the movie was white woman
with a black guy. I think it was the coming of, like, Botswana, the development of Botswana. Or, I forget what it was called. But we went and saw the movie.
Everyone was looking at us like...
We didn't know what movie we were going to see. My work had been given a bunch of free tickets and come see the screening of this. And we're like, cool. Free movie. I was pregnant with our daughter. My parents were looking after our son, and we're like, we don't give a shit what we're seeing. It's a night out. We'll go for it. And we're sitting there, and I mean, this is in Mossman in Sydney. So, like, I mean, everyone's white. There's much more diversity there. And we walk in, and then the movie starts, and it's about a white woman going to Africa. Like, they met in the UK or something, going to Africa, and he was like the king of whatever, blah, blah, blah. And we were just sinking down in our seats, like, okay, didn't quite get into this.
In terms of, like, I guess, would you have more issue here in Australia in terms of people looking at you than in Africa, like in Tanzania? Like,
it's about the same. Okay. It's just that, it's just here people are looking at him, there people are looking at me, And I think people come up with stories on either side. I remember it was... Like, when we started living together, I mean, even just looking for a place and just everyday living, pretty much Lottie would deal with it. One, he's a man, he would deal with it. Two, he's local, he can speak the language. But Lottie had challenges trying to negotiate, like, what is a reasonable price? I couldn't go to the local markets to go do our grocery shopping because the price would go up.
Because of the opportunity.
That's it. Do you remember that one time I did? And that guy got really angry at me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was a bit crazy. But, I just caused a stir. Places that you just shouldn't be in. Yeah, just there's some places that you just shouldn't be and it's not worth going. So Lottie had to do, I was heavily reliant on him over there. And if we'd lived there for longer, I don't know how much, I mean, you know, I can get to know the language more, but I don't know how much that would actually change. I think it'd still be up to him to lead a lot of stuff.
No, we'll change if you know the language because you can speak the language. That would be a difference. Like, this is prices. This is a normal price in Swahili. And then we're like, she knows everything. That will change everything. So it doesn't matter if you're going to stay 100 here, there, or 20 years there. But if you know the language, you get there and for the first time and you know Swahili. So it means if you will speak Swahili, will help you.
Yes.
But the thing is, I think there are some people who they taking white people as opportunity. Because they don't know anything about that. They just think for themselves, like, if I will beat her today or if I will beat him today, I will give money to survive for today. They are not thinking for the
long-term
relationship, you know, because if you come into my maybe kiosk and I will sell something to you for the better price, this means tomorrow you will come back again or you will recommend even other or some of your friends and say, hey, if you want this, just go there. So it means people doesn't think about long-term thing.
Yes.
Thinking about today, I need to eat today.
That's right, which is why, like, if any of your listeners go, that it's so important to have some kind of a guide or a trusted someone who's familiar with the tourism industry so they know, because it's you need people who know and have come from the, or have an understanding of the people coming from Western culture into here, and they can bridge that gap. They know their local people, and so they know how to sort of negotiate and smooth out some of those communication hiccups.
And I recommend it in any case, you know, like I think sometimes people see tours or companies and you think, oh, they're going to pay more money. You might pay a little more money, but you also save yourself a lot of trouble.
Oh, my gosh.
Like I said, you know.
Down the track, yeah.
Hakim became my friend. Chris, he was so, like, my friend. Like, I mean, you know, we're talking different country, but in Kenya, my driver took me to his village. I met his family because, you know, we had a few hours spare. So I had this really nice experience that I wouldn't have got if I was by myself.
Exactly.
And actually, when I was by myself walking around, you know, sometimes people did. They see a white person and it's still a thing that, you know, sort of like, please give donation.
It's
unfortunate because I think you have a shop and I can buy your things, but you can't ask for a donation as well. And that's disappointing because there are people working hard and working honestly, and then they see, like you said, just a quick opportunity, maybe she gives me a bit of money.
Yeah, which comes back to that present moment thing. They are wonderfully and beautifully present moment, but then also to their disadvantage, they are present moment. You know, there's no planning for the future. There's no, like Lori was saying, like, what do you need to do today to create those long-term relationships? Because it's almost like sometimes the future isn't guaranteed, especially for them. The future isn't guaranteed and it almost doesn't exist. So you can, understand where they come from. And being so poor as well, it's like, do you know what? Give it, like, I go to anywhere in the world assuming I'm going to be ripped off, like assuming that I am going to pay a higher price. That's just what you do, you know? And until you start learning what it is, like I could start negotiating a little bit more and I'd be mindful of like how ruthless I'd be in my negotiations, but you know, you start to understand where the fine line is and all the rest of it.
But if you're living there, you have to live the currency and you have to live. You can't continue paying a tourist price all the time.
Oh, that's it. But even then, even once you're living there, there's still a different price really for expats than locals, which fair enough as well, to be honest, which fair enough. They're making, all expats there are doing pretty well. They're on a good deal.
As you just say that, even here, there are people just come from overseas and they just make everything of the price to go higher.
Yeah.
So now Australian people, which is local people, just trying to think like, yeah, why did the rental go higher? Why did the price of the houses just go higher? It's because of those people who come in from overseas with a lot of money and spend their money to invest here.
Yeah.
So even there, so people just thinking like, white people, wow, you just come, you want to rent my property? Oh, it was 300,000. Now it's 600,000.
Shillings, so it's 600,000 shillings.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Stuff like that, because
yeah.
I don't know, people just think, they're not thinking like, are we thinking like, I will get this money for 3 months?
Yeah.
Or 6 months? Other than give the normal price, which will be maybe 2 years.
Yeah,
great. Or 5 years or 10 years. Or yes, stuff like that. But still thinking like, Arusha, Tanzania is the best place to be.
Yes. Well, that's good. I'm going to let you two go. I'm going to get some tips from you, so we'll put them in the show notes. You've made me miss. It's been 9 years since I was there, but I feel like it was yesterday. I loved Tanzania so much. I cannot wait to go back. And now my husband, I will take him and, you know, well, I'll be at your wedding, so I can't wait.
Yes.
No, come see the family.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be massive. I don't know most of the people who are going, but I'm told it's going to be massive.
I'm going to get myself a traditional outfit. I love the big colour outfit and get my hair all up. And
yes, I'm going to get it made. Yes. Yes. We're doing it.
Asante sana, Rafiki.
Karibu sana. And muda wote ukitaka, ukiwa free, tupigie. I know you didn't understand what I said, but because you can tell sometimes it's not understand what I'm talking Swahili, because
I love it.
Speaking so far.
Yeah, so far.
Thank you so much, both of you, for your time. And I loved hearing your love story and hearing more about Tanzania. And I look forward to seeing more of your adventures too. So we'll share some things in the show notes and we'll share some pictures. So you guys are going to have to dig through the archives for me, some pictures.
Yes, sure thing. Easily done. Thanks so much.
When we're going there, it's mean we have to drive. We think like we go there for a little around. Bit long time, like maybe 3-6 months or a year, and then drive all the way around to.
I was like, sorry, what?
Yeah,
I missed this plan.
But like a decent chunk of time so we can travel around. Because even, I mean, I haven't even seen that much of Tanzania. Do you know what I mean?
You need the time place. Because it's big and also like it's not, even here, obviously, we need a lot of time. It's big, but. There, you know, the roads are not so good and things, they need more time to get
around.
I would love to see some more countries in Africa. And I just said, you know, it's not like when you go to Europe, you just go,
I know, wouldn't that be great?
Or fly.
It's
very expensive to get.
So expensive. I was booking my flights from Arusha down to get to Joburg. No, Cape Town. My friend was in Cape Town. So one, you can't fly direct to Cape Town. So that was my first hiccup. I'd have to go to this place, then Joburg, then this place. And it was going to, one way, it was going to be like $1,300.
Yeah. Because people don't fly like that, really. They're driving a lot more. So it's, the infrastructure isn't there. But
yeah. So
it's interesting. Well, if I'm coming through Newcastle, I would love to come and see you guys. I think it'll be a little while, but we'd love to come and meet you in person.
Thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Already looking forward to the next one. We also have a rather extensive back catalogue for you to check out. But in the meantime, you can follow us on Instagram. That's at Lovely Travels on Instagram.
Or you can come and check us out on Facebook, Lovely Travels. That's LOVELLY. Or we would love for you to join our Facebook community with more than 500 members talking all things travel and adventure. That's the Lovely Travels community.
You can also visit our website, which is lovelytravels.com.
Or shoot us an email. We love hearing from our listeners. So please send us an email, feedback, comments, questions, whatever. info@lovelytravels.com.
And you can listen, review, subscribe, like, share, and promote our podcast in any shape, way, or form. We are on Spotify, iTunes, the internet, Google Podcasts. Everywhere where you get podcasts, you will find us.
All good podcasting locations. So tune in next time, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you then.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.